Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Brooklyn Independent Television.
It's been nearly 2 months since the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission greenlit the Group Vehicle Ride Pilot Program. The program was designed to help commuters along corridors where bus routes had been eliminated. The B71 is the latest route to join the program, and Sherry Carabin jumped aboard the dollar van to find out if it's smooth sailing.
Our starting point is that Franklin, that's the starting point, and Eastern Parkway.
The B71 service area is among a handful that are part of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission's Group Ride Vehicle Pilot Project. The vans cost $2 a ride and are designed to assist those living in areas where the MTA has discontinued bus routes. The first group ride vehicles hit the streets around mid-September in Queens. Brooklyn's B23 and B39 routes are also part of the pilot. The B71 route starts in Crown Heights and ends in Red Hook, with Brooklyn Van Lines providing the service.
Traditionally, van companies would operate in Caribbean neighborhoods, Caribbean American neighborhoods, Central Brooklyn, and in Queens. But this new agreement with the city expanded our range in going to into areas that we would normally not go. So that is a given. That is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for the van industry.
Right now, Brooklyn Van Lines has about a half dozen drivers, manning the van 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. On this Sunday, I decided to get on board and take a tour of the route myself. It's the latest area of the borough to be serviced by group ride vehicles, but those who operate the former B-71 bus route are having a hard time getting commuters to hop on board.
The numbers are in 15 to 20 range for the day, which
15 to 20 passengers for the entire day?
Right. So,
with numbers like those, it's hard to make ends meet.
For insurance costs, almost $10,000 per year. You gotta do DOT inspection 2 times per year. There's a diamond there, you gotta pay a TLC diamond. It's $550 for 2 years. Registration fee also went up.
3 months ago, the MTA cut that route, and it took really too long. This should have been done the following day after the last bus left that route. But it took so long before the city could make this agreement and make this arrangement with the van companies that all of the riders pretty much went back to, you know, taking their own transportation or finding some other form of transporting themselves to their work and their shopping areas.
TLC Commissioner David Yaski admits there are growing pains, saying, quote, the challenge is to make sure that as many people as possible are aware of the service. And to that end, we've been assisting to the extent that we can by devoting space on our website to the services, printing and distributing thousands of flyers and palm cards, making presentations at community forums, and enlisting the media to help spread the word. But we do hope to see the operators become far more aggressive in their marketing and outreach efforts, end quote. Certainly some of the residents Brooklyn Review spoke to seem to be unaware of the service, but not unwilling to consider using it.
So would you be likely to use them now that you know about them?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? I would give it a shot.
I really don't know much about it, but if it can get me where I need to go, yeah, I would take it.
This Community Board 6 member has a different take on the issue.
Ideally, I'd like to see the bus service return. Besides failing that, it would be nice if the vans were on some kind of predictable schedule.
Setting a schedule is one of the things those at Brooklyn Van Lines are looking at, but it's not their only focus.
Some of the things we're considering includes, you know, $1 fare during off-peak and weekend times, or some sort of all-you-can-ride for a period of time. Fares, you know, maybe $3 you can ride for 3 hours. Or something to get people to try the service for some of their daily needs.
In the coming weeks, those who run Brooklyn Van Lines say they'll be hitting the streets and distributing flyers to residents and local businesses, letting everyone know these group ride vehicles are here to stay. For Brooklyn Review, I'm Sherry Carabin.
Download this program's podcast on iTunes. Keywords, Brooklyn Independent Television.
Okay, we got our community building conference call tonight. And let's I got some special audio that I want you guys to hear. Okay, and let me play one that you've been familiar with before, but play close attention to the numbers.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
The stage, we've actually set out the perimeter of the ground floor of your house, 168 square feet. So our stage is actually bigger than the footprint of your house, which just is amazing to me. You said you got a lot of the materials sort of secondhand. How did you find them?
Predominantly, we went through Craigslist, and we've had donations along the way from neighbors, whether it be our shower stall or the kitchen sink from the man across the street who was a plumber. Just keeping your eyes open also on the side of the road, we've found a few things, but overall, Craigslist is really where most of the things came from.
And Carl, I know it was your idea in the first place. When Carl came to you with this idea, what did you think?
I thought he was crazy. But it worked out. It's a beautiful home and very comfortable. So I adjusted quickly because I know Carl well enough to know that we're going to do it if he says so. So I'm the same way.
The stage, we've actually set out the perimeter of the ground floor of your
Be no more sleeping under bridges for some homeless folks in Muncie.
They're now eligible to apply to live in tiny houses that are under construction right now by a Muncie group called Bridges Community Services. This miniature housing initiative is the first of its kind in the state of Indiana. RTV6's Derek Thomas reports.
The tiny homes began arriving this morning. It would take about a month for the construction work to be completed on them.
By midday, the truck was still unloading the 696 square foot homes and placing them on their foundations. Each home will cost about $3,000.
I would love to be one of the ones flying. I think it would be amazing to live in this right here.
Brandon May has been homeless and unemployed for about 5 months. Later this week, he will get a new job at a factory. He says these humble quarters can help him get back on his feet.
When you first walk in, when you're accustomed to a big house, you know, stuff like that, you might think no, but when you think about the layout and you think about sleeping on a park bench or sleeping underneath a bridge or anything like sleeping in someone's car, this is way more than enough room.
The tiny homes will have electricity and heat, but a separate community building will be constructed where this basketball court is that will contain bathroom and shower facilities on one side and a kitchen facility on the other. None of the homeless selected to live here will be hardened criminals.
Everyone is vetted, which means basically we do police checks on everyone that comes in. We will not serve any violent offenders, and we will not serve any lifetime sex registry people.
Some neighborhood residents think it is a positive development.
When I seen it, I think it said on Facebook, and I thought, wow, that is a really good idea. Why didn't somebody think of that sooner?
And you think they're doing a community service?
Oh, yeah.
They expect 50 to 100 applications to live in these homes. They begin accepting those applications October 1st. Move-in is set for November 1st. In Muncie, Derek Thomas, RTV6.
The entire Tiny Homes project will cost about $80,000. Staffers will be on the property 24 hours a day to make sure all goes well. Residents of the homes could pay up to $50 a month for utilities.
Okay, so we just heard that audio, which was they're building a little tiny house village in Muncie, Indiana, 96 square feet, 96 square feet. Matter of fact, you can see the actual video if you go to our Facebook page, Housemakers Social Network, Housemakers Social Network. That's on Facebook, and it's one of the top, if it's not the first video, but it's within the first three videos on that Housemakers social network page. So go check that out, and you can actually see the outside of the house and the inside of the house, which they're basically shells. But 96 square feet, there's a waiting list, as you heard the man say. And the inside of them, they have to be put in because, you know, different people might want different things. But $3,000 cost for a shell, and they're not under 100 square feet. The other audio that we heard, the tiny house family, and you can go to YouTube and check, just type in tiny house family and put in 168 square feet. A man, the wife, and that's what I go by, the wife. If the wife is happy, everybody's happy. So the wife and their two children, you can see how big their kids are. They're living in 168 square feet. And you see what that looks like. Like they said on the broadcast, that it's smaller than their stage that they aired that on. So, and the wife gets the bank 100% of her paycheck, as you heard her say. They're able to save $3,000 a month. So basically, you know, they went old school, where the husband's paycheck, you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and maybe a little bit of the 50s, the husband was able to, I mean, the family was able to live off of one paycheck. Okay. So $3,000 a month savings. You know, that's $36,000 a year savings. That's pretty sizable. Pretty sizable. Okay. Hold it. I had to get my board back up. All right, let me turn off. Ooh, okay. Let me turn that off. So this week, what we're going to be doing, we have a goal. And, man, it's not one thing or another with these computers. We want to sell 24 homes this week. So essentially, each day of each day of It's My House this week, we're going to focus in on that. I want to, let's see, I want to go back to that last audio we played. Now, my experience, and how are we going to do this? We're going to have to do this online. Use the power of the internet. I've done eBay auctions where we've sold, like, now this is years ago. I haven't done it in a while. But we didn't build the house. We actually bought some foreclosures, put them up on eBay auction, and probably did about $20,000 worth of gross sales off eBay off of about four homes. That's $5,000 a piece. So we want to harness the power of the internet. And besides eBay, we want to harness the power of Craigslist. And we want to harness the power of I want to cast the net out here this way. eBay, meetup groups, Instagram, let's say Craigslist, and we may as well throw in Facebook. And I wanted to play, man, what is this? I wanted to play you guys. So there are people out there, like I say, if you go on Facebook and type in Tiny House Family, there are families, man, wife, two children, two small children, that can live in 168 square feet. Don't get caught up in what you might or might not live in. But if, like I say, if the wife's happy, in the case she was, everybody's happy. All right, I'm trying to go back to the Muncie thing, because we're going to have to do Pembroke situation. We've got room for 8 people to become part of our village in Pembroke, Illinois. I'm trying to replay the video. I mean, the audio I just played. But in any event, any comments on either one of those? Like I say, the Muncie tiny house community, those tiny homes, and I want to play that again. Ninety-six square feet. And let me see if I can find this audio another way. And there's a market out there for it. All right, hold it. Let's play this audio. It's here somewhere.
The stage, we've actually set out the perimeter of the ground floor of your house, 168 square feet. So our stage is actually bigger than the footprint of your house, which just is amazing to me. You said you got a lot of the materials sort of secondhand. How did you find them?
Predominantly, we went through Craigslist, and we've had donations along the way from neighbors, whether it be our shower stall or the kitchen sink from the man across the street who was a plumber. Just keeping your eyes open also on the side of the road, we've found a few things, but overall, Craigslist is really where most of the things came from.
And Carl, I know it was your idea in the first place. When Carl came to you with this idea, what did you think?
I thought he was crazy, but it worked out. It's a beautiful home and very comfortable. So I adjusted quickly because I know Carl well enough to know that we're going to do it if he says so. So, and I'm the same way.
Okay. Like I say, happy wife, happy life. Now, they were 4 people in 168 square feet. You have some families living in vans and cars. So for what we're doing, we should not go over 168 square feet. Now, I'm still trying to find the Muncie. I wanted to play that one more time. And I can't find it. Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. All right. All right, if anybody, I got it here somewhere, but it's not coming. Let me refresh my page. If anybody's got any comments on it, like I say, we want to put it out to now. I've had success with eBay. We can do eBay. We can market via eBay auctions. And the people that are looking on eBay auctions, these are going to be people that are looking for investments. They're looking for either income property, something that they can get a passive monthly income, or something that they can buy cheap and resell it. So eBay, and I'll go over this again tomorrow, that's what you use eBay for. And you can set that auction for 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, what have you. So we can market the properties through eBay. Meetup groups where you meet people face-to-face, offline. There's Instagram, which is pretty popular. Here we go. Let me play it now. Muncie.
Be no more sleeping under bridges for some homeless folks in Muncie.
They're now eligible to apply to live in tiny houses that are under construction right now by a Muncie group called Bridges Community Services. This miniature housing initiative is the first of its kind in the state of Indiana. RTV6's Derek Thomas reports.
The tiny homes began arriving this morning. It will take about a month for the construction work to be completed on them.
By midday, the truck was still unloading the 6 96-square-foot homes and placing them on their foundations. Each home will cost about $3,000.
I would love to be one of the ones left. I think it would be amazing to live in this right here.
Brandon May has been homeless and unemployed for about 5 months. Later this week, he will get a new job at a factory. He says these humble quarters can help him get back on his feet.
When you first walk in, when you're accustomed to a big house, you know, stuff like that, you might think no, but when you think about the layout and you think about sleeping on a park bench or sleeping underneath a bridge or anything like sleeping in someone's car, this is way more than enough room.
The tiny homes will have electricity and heat, but a separate community building will be constructed where this basketball court is that will contain bathroom and shower facilities on one side and a kitchen facility on the other. None of the homeless selected to live here will be hardened criminals.
Everyone is vetted, which means basically we do police checks on everyone that comes in. We will not serve any violent offenders, and we will not serve any lifetime sex registry people.
Some neighborhood residents think it is a positive development.
When I seen it, I think it said on Facebook, and I thought, wow, that is a really good idea. Why didn't somebody think of that sooner?
And you think they're doing a community service?
Oh, yeah.
They expect 50 to 100 applications to live in these homes. They begin accepting those applications October 1st. Move-in is set for November 1st. In Muncie, Derek Thomas, RTV6.
The entire tiny homes project will cost about $80,000. Staffers will be on the property 24 hours a day to make sure all goes well. Residents of the homes could pay up to $50 a month for utilities.
And we can get that down to zero the way we do our off-grid homes. Now, I wanted to play this last audio one more time about Muncie because I'm trying to locate their Facebook group.
Be no more sleeping under bridges.
Oh, wait a minute. Here
we
go.
Be no more sleeping under bridges for some homeless folks in Muncie.
They're now eligible to apply to live in tiny houses that are under construction right now by a Muncie group called Bridges Community Services. This miniature housing initiative is the first of its kind in the state of Indiana. RTV6's Derek Thomas reports.
The tiny homes began arriving this morning. It will take about a month for the construction work to be completed on them.
By midday, the truck was still unloading the 6 96-square-foot homes and placing them on their foundations. Each home will cost about $3,000.
I would love to be one of the ones left. I think it would be amazing to live in this this right here.
Brandon May has been homeless and unemployed for about 5 months. Later this week, he will get a new job at a factory. He says these humble quarters can help him get back on his feet.
When you first walk in, when you're accustomed to a big house, you know, stuff like that, you might think no, but when you think about the layout and you think about sleeping on a park bench or sleeping underneath a bridge or anything like sleeping in someone's car, this is way more than enough room.
The tiny homes will have electricity and heat, but a separate community building will be constructed where this basketball court is that will contain bathroom and shower facilities on one side and a kitchen facility on the other. None of the homeless selected to live here will be hardened criminals.
Everyone is vetted, which means basically we do police checks on everyone that comes in. We will not serve any violent offenders, and we will not serve any lifetime sex registry people.
Some neighborhood residents think it is a positive development.
When I seen it, I think it said on Facebook, and I thought, wow, that is a really good idea. Why didn't somebody think of that sooner?
And you think they're doing a community service?
Oh, yeah.
They expect 50 to 100 applications to live in these homes. They begin accepting those applications October 1st. Move-in is set for November 1st. In Muncie, Derek Thomas, RTV 6.
The entire tiny homes project will cost about $80,000. Staffers will be on the property 24 hours a day to make sure all goes well. Residents of the homes could pay up to $50 a month for utilities.
Okay, now, so Bridges Community Services, they have a website that you can look over. That $80,000, they probably got a grant. And because it doesn't cost that much to cost, they're only doing like 8 houses, I think. So they're funding a lot of salaries. All right, they're a nonprofit, they're not entrepreneurs, so. That's a really inflated price, but you did hear what they're spending per house, about $3,000. You can see a video of it on our Facebook page, Housemakers, a social network on Facebook, and you'll see the insides of those places as well as the outside. They're essentially, the outside of it is complete. I mean, from the outside, but if you go on the inside, it's not complete. They're essentially $3,000 shells, which is a good price because you heard the audio for this program, the solar cabin. The guy built his house for his cabin for $2,000, but his solar system costs another $3,000. But that's all right, $5,000, and he's only off the grid. All right, and you can add add-ons to it. So that's something to go by. 96 square feet. All right, no more than about, let's say, $3,000 to $5,000. And I'm the tiny house family, four people, 168 square feet. Once you break the 200 square feet thing, your prices can jump up considerably higher. That's why anything I get involved with personally is no more than 168 square feet. Although people can learn the fundamentals of how to build, and then if they want to build, because once you reach 400 square feet, that's no longer tiny. That's a small house, 400 square feet. And the bigger the house, you got to deal with maintenance and all that stuff right now. So anybody that I say will be, because our goal, tomorrow's April 1st, by Friday or Saturday of this week, we want to have sold 24 homes, and we haven't built one for this week. How are we going to do it? That's where we're going to break this down step by step, Monday through Friday. I'm putting it out there right now. You got to look at, you're going to use the power of the internet, and you're going to model some people that use the internet that became very wealthy. Jeff Bezos, how did he start? He started selling books. He did not keep an inventory of books, but he listed some books on his website, Amazon. People placed the order. They sent the money in. He took the money, got the book, sent the book. Zappos, they sell shoes. Same thing. Had a website, placed a picture of her shoe or shoes. People ordered which shoes they wanted. He took the money, bought the shoes, sent the shoes out. The rest is history with both. And there are a lot of companies that do that with Amazon. So what we're going to look at is, and we can add more companies in this. I'm just going eBay, because I've got experience with that. Meetup groups, got experience with that. Craigslist, got personal experience with that. Now, what I haven't used before, Instagram, all right. I've been on Facebook every day, but I haven't used to market anything like this before, so that's fine. But there are other online platforms that can be used to get these 24 homes gone. Now, just to give you one example, the eBay example, like I said, we marketed 4 homes. They sold for an average of $5,000 apiece, $20,000 in a week. Had we done that 100 times, now let me get my math right on that. Had I $20,000 times 100, that's $2 million. Had we did it 50 times, we would have 50 more times, we would have done $1 million. Gross. That's not net. Now, I've rented rooms and rental property. And I shared this last week, and I'll share it all throughout this week, too. Because we're going to have to move this many homes in a week, we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to model Bezos. These homes can be built within a matter of hours. Okay? And we'll go through that, too, with actual demonstrations. Place to add on Craigslist, let's say, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, phone starts to ring. 8:30, 9 o'clock, people start to show up at the location to look over the rental unit. By 12 noon, screened, occupant selected, and money exchanged and lease signed. All less than 12 hours. That's with Craigslist. All right. So, and that's just marketing one room or one rental unit. So we're going to use the power of the internet. Oh, wait a minute. Damn my time here. So does anybody have any questions, comments, suggestions? Just press 1 if you're already in the studio. Like I said, we're going to break this down step by step because since there's some new, I mean, now we can accept money through Cash App, Zelle. There are more online applications. There are probably some online applications I don't know about. Other online platforms that we can market, and we're going to take a look at. Closer look at Bezos and Zappos and other people. There are people that go to Walmart and buy inventory, and then they list it on Amazon. That's another platform that we can move these products, as well as the village. All right, we're buying a 1 acre piece of land, or not 1 acre, but a little bit less than 1 acre in Pembroke, Illinois, hour away from Chicago. And it's going to be a solar village, off-grid village. And we have space for only 8 people, because it's going to be a small little tiny community of 8. That's it. Because we don't want to be on top of each other in that thing. But so we'll explain how that's going to run. We're going to brainstorm practically every day, but we're going to spend one solid week starting from scratch tomorrow morning. Any questions, comments? If not, we'll end it for this conference call for this evening. And then we'll see you guys tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the evening.